Hello, I'm Georgina Robinson.
And I'm Tom Deason.
Welcome to the Rugby World Cup Daily. Coming to you from Japan every day throughout the 2019 Rugby World Cup.
Hello everyone, welcome to Rugby World Cup Daily. We are coming to you from a taxi on the southernmost island of Kyushu on our way from Oita Airport to a little town called Yufu. Tommy, how are you going, mate?
We're good. Our man who's driving is currently going very quick at the moment, but doing a good job to get us there from the airport. We've just landed. It's about 7 o'clock on, what day is it, Thursday? We were just on the flight with the team, which is always an interesting experience, as previously discussed. But a couple of days out from Australia's third game against Uruguay in an area that you've been to a little bit before, Jay.
Yeah, I came here last year, actually. And anyone who is coming over or coming down to Oita for the game, to this part of Japan, is in for an absolute treat. It's the best way to describe Beppu and Oita, but particularly Beppu, is it's like the Japanese Rotorua. So think hot springs, the smell of sulfuric acid, which takes a little bit of getting used to, it's a seaside town. There's palms along the beach, but it's also got plumes of gas rising up out of cracks in the ground all over the city. So you're driving through the city and you'll see tiny gaps between buildings with just, you know, gas rising up in plumes of smoke. It's really atmospheric, really smelly, but very special, and has an incredible reputation, the entire region, for, unsurprisingly, onsen.
Or yeah, baby.
The hot springs. And I've managed to convince you, Tommy, to trust me on this one. We're actually not staying in one of the big towns. We're over the mountains a little bit in a little valley and a little town called Yufu, as I said, which has got it's got a beautiful train station with an amazing architecturally designed kind of tourism information pavilion, made entirely out of, it looks like almost curled timber. It's really crazy. And then it's just got this one main street that is full of restaurants and little shops, and it's like the Bangalore of Japan. Bangalore is a little town outside Byron Bay in the hills with lots of little artisanal businesses everywhere. That's what Yufu's like. And we're staying in a traditional Japanese guest house called a ryokan, and we're going to put our bags down, fumble through the greetings with our hosts at the guest house, and then ask them to point us in the direction of the onsen.
Serious question. Can you do that in the evenings?
Yeah, you can do it anytime you like.
Okay, right.
And you just have to keep in mind that it's males and females are separated, and the etiquette of it is that you need to bathe, like wash yourself first. You sit on a little stool, use a shower head and the soap they provide, and the little buckets of water to basically clean yourself, and then you go in for a soak. And this is an outdoor onsen fed by this guest house's own spring, and the guest house is on the river. It's only 3 stars, so.
And our commute on Friday to Oita Stadium is going to be interesting, to say the least. But
look, true.
And I don't have any tough stickers, so I don't have to cover up my any ink in the onsen, which some players at this World Cup have been doing. Some of the
Aussies. I've just got the butterfly on my right hip to cover up.
Right, okay, I learned everything.
That is an absolute lie. I do not have any stickers. No, I mean, tattoos, no blemishes whatsoever. But I just feel like when in Kyushu, embrace the region, let's get off the beaten track. We're only here for a couple of days, so.
But might be back. Maybe
be back
in a week's time and a bit.
If
Australia make a quarter final. If they do make a quarter final, they'll either play on the Saturday or the Sunday here in Oita.
Yeah, look, I was really enjoying the kind of the getaway / TripAdvisor tone that this tonight's pod was taking. But I guess you want to talk about some footy.
I am more than happy to keep talking about this area, what we're going to do, but we should...
Well, I know where we can start.
What?
Our flight to Oita was delayed a little bit because of the plane from Oita's late arrival into Tokyo. And who should get off when the plane did arrive about 20 minutes late? The All Blacks.
Mm.
The All Blacks came off in their royal blue training kit or travelling kit. And for a moment there, we thought that the two teams were kind of brushing each other because they were walking past each other. But eventually, I think Sonny Bill stopped to talk to Curtly Beale, Adam Ashley Cooper, Michael Hooper, Sam Kane pulled up to talk to Hoops. I think we saw Bowden Barrett have a bit of a chat to Adam Ashley Cooper as well, and everyone kind of piled in then, and that was much better. My attention was swiftly distracted by Jack Goodhue and his revolting
moulet.
Oh, gee whiz.
Yeah, it's a stinker.
It's a stinker.
No good, no good.
Stopping the conversation in its tracks even now. So that was interesting. It was a nice little period. I mean, we were kind of talking about it, and these professional teams, it's kind of just not like it used to be. Maybe, you know, we did in Auckland, we know that they shared a beer in the sheds, which was really cool, but they're not, it's not like it used to be when, you know, you could get on the piss for a couple of hours with each other, and it's, people don't really cross paths. I tell you when they do is when they kind of get a bit older and they end up pitching up at the same Japanese club or the same French club, and that's where you actually see a lot of friendships form, and it breaks down a lot of those kind of petty rivalries and things. But anyway, it was nice to see the two teams stop and have a chat.
Well, yeah, I mean, the All Blacks fresh off their 63-0 win over Canada. Will the Wallabies do the same at the same venue? We know that they whacked Uruguay 65-3 4 years ago in the World Cup. You did a bit of a deep dive, believe, for a piece that's on Rugby Heaven about Uruguay itself and their story, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I kind of... I'm really fascinated by, well, Uruguay's win and what I know of rugby in South America and North America. And, you know, it's, everyone talks about it as a sleeping giant, the USA in particular, and I wanted to talk to a few people about what that win over Fiji would do and for Uruguay and rugby in the Americas. And I know the CEO, he used to be the CEO of USA Rugby, a guy called Dan Payne, and now he's the CEO of Rugby Americas, which is kind of like, I described it as the Sanzar of the Americas. It's the regional block that Gus Pichot, basically, the Argentine international, now power broker of international rugby, he kind of really pushed this and put it together. And they're basically setting up competitions in across South America and North America to make sure... Wow, that's a beautiful view of the bay. Wow. Now we're in a tunnel. This is a really scenic part of Japan. It's like lush and tropical and quite hot. I think we're past the worst of the heat, which is good, but it's a really stunning part of the country with really beautiful food and fresh produce. Well worth a trip. You never hear about it in a guidebook, but it's worth coming to. Anyway, and what I learned, I mean, Australia is trying to bid for the 2027 World Cup, is going softly, softly on it, but has secured $1 million from the federal government to kind of put into a feasibility study on whether it's worth bidding for the 2027 World Cup. And, you know, Australians think, well, we did it in 2003. It was, at the time, it was considered, you know, the best that had ever been held. And... We're a shoe-in to get it again. Why wouldn't anyone want to come to Australia for rugby? We've got great stadiums. We've got so many new stadiums now and more to come. Townsville's about to open, the Jonathan Thurston Stadium. We've got the new stadiums being built in Sydney. Bankwest, we've got Optus Stadium in Perth, the Great Adelaide.
Maybe not.
Ground. Well, as it turns out, the USA is being pushed a bit as well. World Rugby, you know, is kind of... I think I used the term salivating in my story over the eyeballs, potential eyeballs, and, you know, the guaranteed revenue that a World Cup in a market as big as America might give the game, because of course World Rugby takes all the proceeds from a World Cup. and basically uses that money to fund the development of the game in Tier 2 and Tier 3 nations for the 4 years following the World Cup. So the 2023 World Cup went to France, and I think will be a record money spinner for world rugby. And so I just have this sneaking suspicion, this nagging feeling that world rugby will want the World Cup to go to America. And actually, Brett Gosper, the Australian CEO of World Rugby, just said about 10 days ago in Tokyo that America has put in an expression of interest for the 2027 and 2031 tournaments. Now, maybe 2031 is looking more likely. Anyway, so I've just done a bit of a story about whether incremental improvement in teams like Uruguay mean that, and the Major League Rugby competition, the pro competition in the United States of America, mean that the sleeping giant is actually waking from its slumber, and whether they're all gearing up to, you know, for the new world order of rugby. That's, you know, it could kind of look that way. So that's on Rugby Heaven and in Friday's Sydney Morning Herald.
There's also been a trend of late as well with two big sporting events across codes getting in the same city. We obviously saw Rio, the 2014 Soccer FIFA World Cup, and then the Olympics. We've seen the Rugby World Cup in 2019 and the Olympics next year here in Tokyo as well. But then there's also the 2026 FIFA World Cup in North America, split across Canada, the USA and Mexico.
And there's also the Olympics in LA in 2028. So perversely, that trend may actually not favour America, because there may not be the financial appetite after they've shelled out for the FIFA World Cup and the Olympics to shell out for the third biggest tournament after those two.
In 3 years.
So that's boom, boom, boom. And there's also the problem, which I actually did not note in the story, but there's also the slight problem of the time the Rugby World Cup is held in its 4-yearly cycle is when all of the NFL stadiums are being used by the NFL. So that would you know, they'd have to secure some agreements to for some stadia to become available.
Yeah, okay. Interesting. Anyway, watch this space. Look, regardless, it'd be great to have a World Cup there. If it was in Australia, that would be fantastic too. But also, we both have a soft spot for Argentina, but they're probably looking the least likely at this stage, would you say, to host it out of those three?
Perhaps. It's certainly in terms of infrastructure and economic stability. I mean, they've got some iconic football stadiums, but they're, you know, iconic in one person's eyes is decrepit in another's, and certainly do not have a stable political or economic situation. But it is, you know, there is also a lot of talk about World Cups kind of being swapped between the hemispheres, and this will have been, while this is the first Asian World Cup in Japan, it is the third. It will be the third in a row in the Northern Hemisphere. Between 2015 in England, this one in Japan, and then France in 2023. So, you know, by rights, if it's going to follow the same pattern, it will go back to the Southern Hemisphere, and that would pit Argentina against Australia. In any case, the bidding process doesn't open until mid next year, and the vote will be done in 2021. And now they're actually talking about, Brett Gosper said, we might actually do a votes for 2027 and 2031 simultaneously, basically so World Rugby, all of the council members, can make a traditional choice and a bit of an emerging choice. So, you know, in my book, I think it'd be a great outcome if Australia got 2027 and it then went to the USA in 2031. On the other hand, I would also love to cover a World Cup in Argentina.
Oh, yeah.
At the base of the Andes, how good would that be?
Sipping on Malbec, doing Mendoza. Oh, what a fantastic country it is. Having done
a diet of meat for 6 weeks straight.
Yeah, the food's a lot healthier and lighter here, which is probably good for the rig on this trip, but nonetheless just as tasty. So
the all-important rig, Tommy.
Always, always, always. I called into a cafe today, actually. It was a Hedgehog and Owl Cafe, which is a little bit strange. You don't find them in Sydney every now and then.
No, you don't. They're a complete quirky tourist trap in Japan. But your photos are kind of adorable, and I have to say, I've rarely seen you look happier. Oh. With a little hedgehog tickling a hedgehog's belly.
Yeah, it was quite the treat, to be fair. back on the rugby quickly. Look, Fiji back into it against Georgia, getting their first win of the tournament, 45-10. Semi Radradra on fire, just absolutely flexing his muscles.
I saw a stat that it's the first time in a Rugby World Cup a single player has been involved in 5 tries in a game. Semi Radradra with 2 tries and 3 try assists. He's on fire. And actually, I read John McKee say after the game, it's really great. He's had a quiet World Cup by his own standards, but he seems to be coming alive. So, you know what? You can take us through the implications for Pool D, but wouldn't it be interesting?
Funny game.
If Fiji upset Wales next week.
Well, yes. If Georgia had won that game, Australia could have pretty much gone into the Uruguay fixture. If they won with a bonus point, they would have been absolutely 100% guaranteed to be there. Whilst it's still looking very likely, Wales are on 9 points in Pool D. And you have Fiji, who have actually played a game more than those two teams, 7 points. And Australia on 6 points. So if they beat Uruguay with a bonus point, they'll go to 11 points. However, Wales still have 2 games to go. And then Wales play Fiji next week as well. So that is obviously the crunch game. Australia could still mathematically finish first in the pools, which would give them a much easier run-in and probably play a France or an Argentina as opposed to an England. But look, you never know. But look, you would expect that Warren Gatland's side are going to get the job done there.
You know, this could be a product of thinking about things for long enough that you end up coming around to another point of view and not based on anything more than a gut feel. But While England will be a really big challenge and a very tough game, the only team out of the three, Argentina, France and England, that I would consider the easier team is Argentina, purely because they're the known enemy, you know, they're the devil we know. I do think France, while Australia have a really good record against France, I just, you know, they're the Mercurial World Cup mystery wrapped in an enigma.
I only played them once since the last World Cup. Yeah, in 2016, where they rested a few guys and won there in Paris. But
yeah,
they would have played Argentina 7 times. So, like, obviously playing rugby championship a whole lot. And then England 6 times with a big fat 0 wins next to the name in the Checker v. Eddie Jones period. So imagine if that got reignited in a couple of weeks. That would be fantastic. But it's about 8.5 minutes, Drew. Might wrap it up, eh? We start prepping for this onsen pretty soon.
18.5 minutes and still about a 17-minute journey to the onsen, and the taxi meter...
Don't say it.
...is ticking over at an alarming rate.
Yes, they don't have Uber in Japan, so get your act together.
And the train's shut, so... We couldn't get, it was either a cab or hiking over the mountains on foot.
Or backpacking at the airport, which I don't think you'd probably want to do, given your luxurious lifestyle. I would do it.
Oh, the other nice thing to note was that coming through the, I felt like a bit of a rock star walking through the airport. There were so many Australian flags and so many people, so many Japanese in Wallabies jerseys at the airport waiting to catch a glimpse of the Australians. So it's as predicted, a smaller city like Oita, you know, wouldn't have seen this economic activity in a long time, this level of it. So, you know, out with the All Blacks, in with the Wallabies, and they're getting around Australia now. It's going to be a real treat these next few days, I think.
Absolutely.
Onsen and all.
Love a chat to you Friday after Captain's Run. Let you know if there's any late breaking news. But until then, see you later.
Sayonara. Hello. Sorry. Freak me out.
Sorry. It's still going.
Yeah, okay.
Alrighty. Take two.